Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, the Creator of this universe, our Maker. O Lord, we come because we dare not open Thy word. We dare not speak on these holy and high things without asking Thy presence and the anointing from Thy Spirit. O Lord, we thank Thee that Thy word is forever, abideth forever in heaven, and it is the word of truth. So bless us, Lord, as we think, as we reason, as we contemplate, but also as we humble ourselves before Thee. O Lord, forgive us afresh. We pray that there will be no blockage in our souls, in our hearts and minds, to see the wondrous things from Thy word. O Lord, bless us together. We pray again that this occasion will be a turning point in the life of this local church. We thank Thee for the local church. We thank Thee for its instrumentality. O Lord, look upon this church. We pray that Thou will bless them even in this coming Lord's Day tomorrow, that they will see visitors. They will see the gospel being preached week after week in this place, that souls will turn away from this sin-sick world to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. O Lord, bless our hearts. Bless us together and grant us, Lord, great understanding and instrumentality in our short life. We ask these blessings in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm taking you to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. One verse for our consideration as we accompany the local servant, the minister of God, in this local church. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Approved unto God. That's really my title. Oh, a few words of introduction. This is a great chapter in the word of God. And when you have time to read it later, you will see that Paul is giving a number of instructions, a number of exhortations to Timothy, his protege, his spiritual son in the faith, but also Timothy as the prototype for all pastors, the pattern for all pastors. And through the instructions Paul is given to his son in the faith, he's asking him, if not commending him, first of all, to be a faithful son, a child of God, a faithful believer. That's the first thing here in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then you can really give a whole string of different exhortations given by Paul in this chapter. Let me just mention a few of them. Paul is also asking Timothy to be a spiritual relay runner. Train yourself. Train others. That will also be able to train others and to be sent. Then Paul speaks to Timothy about the importance of suffering for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, there is no easy work in this life for the Lord. And that is very important to bear in mind as we serve the Lord in any place where we are. So suffer and endure hardship. And Paul actually used the word hardness. It is hard to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul says also to Timothy to be a faithful teacher. But a faithful teacher who is teaching the word of God in conformity with the rules. We don't make up the rules. The rules are given to us. All methods of interpretation of the word of God is given to us in the blueprint. So we stick to the pattern that God has given to us. We cannot do better than God. How dare we even think that we can be smarter or we can think better than the living God who gave the word, who inspired the word. And Paul says also to Timothy, I could have shown you every verse of the strings of exhortations and these instructions Paul is given to Timothy, but he is also telling to Timothy to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you require or what do you expect from a soldier? Oh, he should be loyal. He should be a patriot. But we are loyal and patriots to the kingdom of God, because that kingdom is unshakable. Nothing will shake the gospel. Nothing will shake the kingdom of God. But Paul also says to Timothy to work hard, to be a hard worker like a farmer. You ask any farmer in the modern world, in the West, or in a third world country, they will all tell you, whatever sophisticated tools or instruments you may have or machines you may have, it is still a hard work. So Paul is exhorting Timothy also to be a hard worker. But you read the context again of chapter 2, you will see that Paul is asking Timothy to have the discipline of an athlete, a wrestler, a competitor, a marathonian, an Olympian. And you ask any marathonian, he will tell you it requires a lot of preparation. It requires a lot of energy, a lot of discipline. So the pastor, the minister, the Christian worker, even what we so call the lay believer, the layman, should really be a person of discipline. And we often say without discipline, there is no disciple. And then Paul again speaks to Timothy in verse 20, it is in front of you, to be a vessel of honor. To be a vessel of honor. Let me say here, Paul is asking Timothy to be a holy man and to put before you what Robert McChain said to the believers, or in his writings he said, oh, that old divine, the greatest need of my people. Let me insert something there. I cannot do better than him, but let me just insert something there. The greatest need of my people is not my eloquence. It's not my elocution, it's not my academics, it's not my diplomas, it's not even my skills to expand or to explain things. But the greatest need of my people, he said, is my holiness. So you can see that Paul is exhorting Timothy to be a holy person without holiness. In Hebrews 12 verse 14, no man shall see God. Oh, if I can just say one or two things there. You know what is the will of God for us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. The will of God for you and for me is sanctification, to be sanctified. What is the will of God for every believer? Romans 12, verse 2. That the renewal of the mind, so that we know what is the will of God. What is the will of God for a believer? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The will of God is to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord every day. I may even say every hour. And you will never fall in pieces when you give thanks to the living God. But Paul is also asking Timothy really to be a servant in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord. You see, holiness, humility, they go together. The servant of the Lord. Be a servant of the Lord. And these are great instructions given by Paul to Timothy. But that is not all. In this chapter again, you can see that Paul is given to us the character, the holy character of God's calling, but also how the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he builds his church, how he protects his church. It's all here for our good, for our benefit. So we don't have to envy any methods, the church growth movement and so on, reading their books in order to find tips or skills in order to make the church to grow. No, we don't need that. We need the blessing of the Lord. We need to serve the Lord with holiness and in humility. And this is how the Lord requires from us, my dear friends, to be faithful. Faithful in small things. I believe the Lord will keep his promises. He will also grant us great things. So these are all things given to us. And when you read chapter 2 again, you see Paul is saying to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Oh, how can you forget about the Lord Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead? But Paul says to Timothy also to remember to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I don't think in my small mind that a pastor deserves to be paid if he doesn't preach the gospel. He doesn't deserve to be supported by a church if he's not preaching the gospel. And if he has only one service on a Sunday, how can he really justify the support the church gives him? So preach the gospel. All these things are mentioned to us in this great chapter. Oh, my dear friends, you know what George Mueller, we love George Mueller from Bristol, he said when he was asked the simple question, what is the secret of your faithfulness? And you remember, this is a man who had an orphanage, and he never depended on anyone to provide for that orphanage. He will even refuse to take money from people, but he will depend on the Lord. And when he was asked, what was the secret of your faithfulness, he simply quoted this verse. And he said, I have studied to present myself, to show myself as a workman unto God, approved unto God, that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is a great verse. And I could spend, you can write a book just on this one verse. But what are the charges together? You know what is good with a recognition service? Most of time pastors preach to us. We are listening to them, but this is an occasion where we may address him. We may speak to him. What kind of charges we can put before him for his own edification, for his own motto text for his ministry, if we can put it that way. Here it is, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What are the charges we can put to our brother, the servant of the Lord in this local church? Please allow me to mention just four things. Four things, very, very, I think, this is a golden text again. The first thing, look at the command. We are given a command. But with the command comes also a personal responsibility. Study to show thyself. It is a command, but it is also personal. It is not just something said to everyone, just out of the blue. But remember, as Paul speaks to Timothy, as I said earlier, he's the pattern, he's the prototype for pastors. So Paul is speaking also to all ministers. And by extension or in extension, Paul is speaking to every believer. What should every believer do? Or what should the minister do? What should the Christian worker do? The first thing, study to show thyself. Study, not skim, not have a glance, not a quick look and that will do it. No, 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 study. Be speedy to show thyself, to present thyself to whom? Oh, first of all, to God, of course. To present yourself to God as in a court. This is we read it in many portions of the New Testament. If I can just mention one text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that we shall all appear, all of us. There will be no exception. We shall appear before the tribunal or the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. We must appear, the text says there. So this is our appearance before God. Each time we appear before the people of God, really we are presenting ourselves before the living God. As in a court, as in a tribunal. But look at the verse. As I said, it is a command. Study to show thyself. That Greek word is mentioned many times in the New Testament. But what does it mean? Hurry. That's one meaning. Hurry. Make haste. And in all the portions of the scriptures, I could really take you to the references, to the passages, but because of time's sake, I will just mention what the word really means. Study means to exert thyself. Study means it comes with the notion, with the concept of urgency. Oh, preach with urgency. It's not just a matter of methods, of eloquence or skills, but there is an urgency. Why? Because souls are dying. Souls are dying without the Savior. So there must be urgency in our preaching. But it comes also, that word, spoudazo, it comes with the idea of, Frita, the preaching of the word, that ministry God has given to you, please treat it with respect. Treat it seriously. Oh, it is solemn. You look at it in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. Charging them before the Lord. Normally, there are four charges Paul is giving to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, Paul is asking Timothy, charge them. Charge the believers. Tell them. Apply the word to them. And speak to their conscience. Reason with their hearts. Reason with their minds. Reason with their wills. So that they will be obedient to the word of God. So you see, the richness of the word, study. Study also in Galatians chapter 2 verse 10, it means really come forward. Move forward. Be zealous. Strive. That's another meaning of the word. But simply say, when you look at the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, actually in Titus chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, the same word is translated there, be diligent. Be diligent. So the first charge we put before the servant of the Lord in this place is to be diligent, to be vigilant, to be eager with great alacrity, really with great speedness and hasteness in the work of the living God. Oh, the word study really should make us to think that there is no complacency in the work we are doing. There is no room for complacency. Actually, we could even translate that word by saying labor in the word. So what is the first charge Paul is giving to every minister? Labor in the word with great alacrity. Serve the Lord with eagerness. Be diligent in your work for the living God. Oh, my dear friends, if we are to appear before the Lord, because you remember we said it is like appearing before a divine tribunal, what would you bring? What would you say? What argument would you give to the living God? Will you be empty-handed, empty words before the living God? But we come with that great eagerness to love the Lord. Apply your heart assiduously into the work God has called you to do. Be fervent in spirit. My dear friends, in my small mind again, I wish I know better, but I don't find in the Bible where it speaks about a part-time minister. There is no such thing, I believe. There is no such thing as a part-time Christian. That's why we keep saying there is no such thing as a jobless Christian. The work is so vast. The work is so big that even if the whole world is converted, there will still be work for us to do. Why are we going heaven for? Just to sit and watch? No, we are going even into heaven in order to serve, to worship the living God day and night. That is our great privilege. Oh, do your best, give your best, and do it well. What a call. This is a great call. Study to present yourself to the church. Yes, every day, every week, every midweek meeting, every Lord's Day, we present ourselves to the living God. But I think the meaning here, we present ourselves, first of all, coram Deo. That's how the reformers put it. Coram Deo. We present ourselves, first of all, before the face of God in Latin. We present ourselves before God because God is the one who is searching the hearts. God is the one who is looking at each one of us. Have we done it well? Have we obeyed the living God? So make haste. Study hard the word under the Spirit. We cannot just improvise. Some ministers improvise. Suddenly there is a great improvisation or innovation. No, no, no. Oh yes, there may be room for innovation, but we are given the blueprint. We are given everything we need. In Romans chapter 8, we read that the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities. But again, I don't read in the Bible that the Holy Spirit helps us in our laziness. Have you read that? No, the Holy Spirit only comes. We are infirm. We are unable to do it. But we are into the work. We are into the work. We study earnestly with great eagerness. And the Holy Spirit comes and helps us. So that is the first charge Paul is giving to Timothy. And we present also to the minister of this local church. The second is here in verse 15. It is a commission. After the command, we are given a commission. A workman approved, tested unto God. You know what was Paul's philosophy? You know what was Paul's motto? Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Oh, that you should memorize that verse. It is a good verse. Paul said that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Every man, every woman, every child of God is to be presented mature, tested, well-pleasing unto the living God. So a workman approved unto God. Approved, not disapproved. Approved, not disqualified. Approved, not reprobate, because there will be some who will be disqualified. Not about salvation. Paul is not speaking about salvation in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, where his greatest fear is to be cast away, to be disqualified. That was his greatest fear. But it was in relation to service, or to lose instrumentality, to lose that capacity of the Lord being with you. What else will you do? What else will you have? If the Lord is not with you, Psalm 127, if the builders are building without the Lord, they are building in vain. We build with the Lord. We build with the power of the Spirit. Then God comes. While we put our hands on, the Holy Spirit also will move us. Oh, my dear friends, Paul says to Timothy, be a workman, not a showman, not an entertainer, telling people anecdotes, jokes, sermonettes, or small stories they have watched here and there. No, no, no. That's why one of the qualifications given about a pastor, he must be grave. Of course, grave doesn't mean sad. Venerable, honorable. That's the meaning. He must be an honorable person. The church should be a place where people are respectful to the Lord and to his word. Oh, be a workman, not a spiritual slacker. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, that won't have to be blush, or won't become red before God because he's serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is the greatest privilege you have, serving the King of Kings. Never be blush, never be ashamed. Actually, three times Paul is using that word ashamed. If I may just read for you, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. That's the first one there. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, not of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And the next one is verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, for the which cause I also suffer this thing. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And the last one in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. You see, ashamed while you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Never, never. Ashamed of sin, yes. Ashamed of my disobedience, yes. But never ashamed of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Be an example. Be a man of the word. Be a holy man. Be a humble man. Be a godly man. Be an example to all believers. Again, just to quote you, Robert McChain again, he's a good man. He said, seek the face of God before you seek the face of man. That is, every day you wake up, oh minister, Christian workers, this is your aim, to seek the face of the living God. Avoid detractors, avoid controversy, avoid the people who like and love the war of words. Especially in our reform circles, there are people who love that logomatic machine, the war of words, just controversies. Oh, quoting the Puritans, fill the head but nothing in the heart. No, I want my heart to be filled, not just my head. And then we give good applications to the people who are listening to us. Oh, my dear friends, stick to the essentials. Leave controversy aside. Let it go. There are people who enjoy that, but we stick to the essential. We are not only told not to be many to teach. James chapter 3, verse 1 said to us, there shouldn't be many to teach because we shall be judged more severely. But, oh my dear friends, I shiver just mentioning this verse. Maybe I doubt if many have read that verse. It is in the Bible, but it is easy to skip over it. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10 says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. That verse really scares me. What does it mean, deceitfully? With negligence, with nonchalance. That shouldn't be the case. Never do that with the work of the living God. What a penetrating verse. Mediocrity in the service of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, is a curse. And a service for the Lord without a sacrifice leads to shame. That's why sacrifice is so required in our modern world today. Oh, to seek to receive the seal of approval, the heavenly welcoming from God, approved by the King. I see sometimes on some cars, you have these writings, authorized by Her Majesty the Queen, with the authorization of the Queen. But that's nothing, with great respect to the Queen. But just imagine, in heaven, you shall receive the approval of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the seal of approval, written on you, I don't know where, on your forehead or I don't know where, but you will receive good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy master. That is the approval we are looking for in our Christian life. My dear friends, may I confess to you something? Of course, every day when we speak to the Lord's people, on every occasion, we seek the approval of our hearers, of course. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The approval we are seeking is the approval of the Majesty, the Master. Because to have His approval is the one, His analysis of our situation, of our life, is really what matters. So we appear every day before Him. As I prepare a sermon, people say, at the back of my mind, but I say, at the back of my mind and at the front of my mind, what do I seek Him for? The approval of my master. That is, while you look at the celebrity preachers, what are they looking for? The acclamation, the exaltation, the admiration. But no, we look for the acclamation of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, when the Lord, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 there, that God, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. The praise of God is what the preacher should be after. My dear friends, I'm sorry to have detained you long, but remember, as the Lord's servants, we labor, not twitter. We labor, and what matters, it is better to be despised for the right than to be praised for error, and to be praised for the wrong. But look at a third thing which is mentioned here, rightly dividing the word. This is the only place where that expression is said in the New Testament. I believe it is a great comprehensive word. It is a farming word. It is masonry word. It is a carpentry word. It is a tailoring word. Because you remember, who was Paul? What was his work? He was a tent maker. And the Greek word there, rightly dividing, really means cut the line straight. Not tortuous, not zigzag, in zigzag. That shouldn't be the case. So Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, don't embellish it. Of course, I want to make it interesting. That's normal. It's human. Don't be boring, of course. I don't want to be boring. But don't embellish it. We don't need to be original. Some people, their dreams is to be original. If nobody has ever said it, don't believe in it. There is a red light. If somebody tells you it has never been said, I invented it. Red light. Why? Stick to the blueprint. Make the truth plain, pleasing, and effective, rightly handling the word of God, so that there will be no mistake, no misunderstanding. And that is very important. I'm sorry, my dear brothers and sisters, to say some preachers, they think they know better than Paul. Really, they are proud. And remember, pride is the mother of error. Pride is the mother of heresy. That's why we always have to be very careful. May I tell you another confession? I never debate the Bible. That's why I don't debate with Muslims. People are asking me, debate. No, I don't debate the word. What are we commanded to do? Proclaim the word. Proclaim the word. And in my small life, I have never seen one person saved after a debate. I have never seen. I am not saying it doesn't happen. I have not met one church that was built after debate. Preach the gospel. That is the ordained means given by the Holy Spirit by which souls are won to the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, I know some people have appointed themselves self-appointed temple police, the police of above the censors above the life of other believers around the world. Please, stick to your local church. It is not our mission to put everyone right. God will do that. Leave God to do his job. He does it better than us. Oh, I wish I have more time to tell you more. Teach the whole counsel of God. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. And the word love there could also be mean speak the truth in sincerity. No hypocrisy in the life of a minister or a believer. Speak the truth in love, and do not have a hobby horse. Spurgeon said, there is a difference between a portrait and a caricature. You know, the nose already, you see the person's nose on his face, yes? But if you make it bigger and bigger, it becomes a caricature. So anything, any subject of the Bible, you always come back to it, always. You take any text from the Bible, you come back, that is a caricature. It is a hobby horse. Avoid that. The Bible is so vast that we don't have to preach only one element. The whole counsel of God is given to us. Oh, my dear friends, we give to people what they need, not what they want to hear. I will never do that to make people feel happy. No, it is not our job to make people feel happy in the Church of Jesus Christ. Offend everyone with the gospel. Of course, I don't wish to offend anyone, but offend everyone with the gospel. Let the gospel do its work. Oh, preach the gospel. Pray, study, meditate, behave. An unfaithful shepherd is a tragedy. It is a plague, an unfaithful preacher. There is no easy way to preach. But you know the secret? Preach the word. Preach the word. And that will help you in your life. This is the only answer to the empty and impious verbiage condemned here in verse 14, in verse 16, 17, and 18. I close with this. So first of all, what are the charges? A command. Study to show thyself. Second, there is a commitment. And that commitment, approved man of God. And third, there is a conviction, rightly dividing the word of God. And fourthly, look at now your consecration. And I close with this. My dear friends, don't confuse the book with books. You know, I read it recently. Every year around the world, 1 million books are published. 1 million, wow. But many books are a bane. But the Bible is a boon, someone said. It is a boon. It is a sword. And in the commitment and the consecration God is given to us, study to show thyself, rightly dividing, you see, the word of truth. The power is not in the preacher. The power is not in the farmer. Is the power in the farmer? The power is in the seed. You sow the seed. The Holy Spirit does the work. Labor, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Labor in the word and doctrine. This is where there is a worthy double honor. People are looking for honor. But that's where there is honor. To labor in the word and in doctrine. The emphasis is on the word of truth. The word of truth. What is the word of truth? The word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Do you play with a sword? Or do you just hang it on a wall for decoration? No, it won't do the job. It won't do the job. You use it to preach the gospel, to preach the word, to edify the church. Oh, my dear friends, I hope every believer here is give thanks to the Lord that in a world of a babel of lies, of contradictions, of confusion, God has given us the Bible, and the Bible is forever the absolute word of truth. John 17, 17, Psalm 19, Psalm 119, and in verse 150 it is said there that thy word is a lamp at my feet and a light on my path. The truth shall set you free. So preach the gospel. Weekly have a gospel service and endeavor to meditate the word, to pray, to behave. But also to look to the Lord at all time for success. Be faithful unto him and to death. One last word to local believers, the members of this church. Oh, my dear friends, If there is any charge I can put before you on this recognition service. And I make myself the voice of Pastor Ashley Mendes. Pray for him. Pray for him. It is humbling, you know, for every preacher. The preacher needs your prayers as much as you need his prayers. But for us, sometimes we think the man of God there, his prayers have more access to the living God. No, it is humbly. I believe I need more your prayers than you need mine. Because your collective prayers together is a warm, is a sweet savor that goes to before the throne of the living God. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the minister of God. You know how often in the word of God, Paul said, pray for us. Spurgeon was asked what was his secret. You know what he said? My people pray for me. Oh, my prayer is that every man, every person coming into this house of prayer will say to himself, you know what Jacob said when he had his dream in Genesis chapter 28? This is the house of God. This is not a market. This is the house of God. People are serious here. And he said, certainly, surely, God was in this place. One verse to make us to think about this holy, high calling given to us. And every believer who trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ could be a workman approved unto God. We close our time together with our third hymn, Now Savior, Now Thy Love Imparts.